Hi everyone, welcome back to our podcast, How to Startup. And this time I'm a little bit excited because I'm going to do my first podcast in English. So let's see how it works, and maybe we'll adopt it to the next phases of this podcast, as we are going to be global podcast, maybe. Today I'm hosting one of my close friend, Zach Fagan. Hi Zach.
Hey Menachem, great to be here.
Great. Zach and me, we know each other, let's say more than half a year, working together with the rest of a big team on the Earth and Beyond Ventures. We are part of the partners, the LP, in this venture. Zach comes from Inishim, and shortly explain about where he's coming from and what he does. And our chapter today, our episode is going to be about generally fundraising, VCs, investment banks, and all the good stuff that it's not related to IIA and, you know, Israeli money fundraising. From a point of view of entrepreneur that is doing his first steps in the field. So without further ado, Zach.
Okay. So hello, everyone. Excited to be here. Thanks for the great intro, Menachem, and looking forward to doing it in English, too. Okay. Definitely easier for me here. So I'll give just a quick background on myself and what I do and sort of how that ties into the rest of it. So I am from the U.S. originally. I've been in Israel since 2008. And I think that sort of plays a big role in how I ended up where I am today. When I was growing up, I always sort of looked at the world of investment banking, working in Wall Street, as where I wanted to go. And then obviously 2008 came along and the financial markets crashed, the whole world changed, and I started thinking about things differently and looking for a different path for what to do with my life. And that's sort of how I found myself looking at the startup world, and probably one of the big reasons I came to Israel as well.
And did Aliyah.
Made Aliyah, came to Israel. Obviously some Zionistic reasons as well.
Yeah.
Came to Israel and got involved in the startup scene. So over the course of my career, I've worked at a startup. I've worked in an investment bank before co-founding Inishim Group. So I guess a bit of background on what I've done in terms of in the world of investment. So I started an investment bank where our main purpose was to help bridge the gap between Asian investors and Israeli startup companies. We had several good years when there was a lot of activity between Israel and China. Mm-hmm. Working primarily with corporates in Asia, but also private investors and financial investors, and helping them invest in Israeli companies and vice versa, helping Israeli companies penetrate foreign markets. After a few years of doing that, myself and my partner, Doron Zauer, started Inishim Group. And at Inishim Group, what we essentially do is we help foreign entities access Israeli innovation. And we do that in one of two ways. So the first way that we do it is we offer a local outsourced tech scouting service. So it's basically a replacement for opening a local office for tech scouting. So if you're Facebook, you're Apple, you already have activity here, and you're big enough, you've got a large enough budget that you're doing it that way yourself already. But there are a lot of companies out there that are one or two tiers down, still very large companies, have a lot of interest in Israeli technology, but might not have the management attention or the budget or whatever to open up a whole office here. We say, no worries, don't open an office, we'll be your office here. We integrate into their innovation arm, CVC, scouting office, and help them access Israeli tech. The second thing that we do is more intensive open innovation, where we might work with a few corporates on setting up something a bit more intensive and active. And so in that case, we help raise vertical specific funds or manage incubators and accelerators on behalf of several corporates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the background to our most recent activity, which is we've recently launched alongside Menachem and several other partners, Earth and Beyond Ventures, which is a fund and incubator here in Israel that's investing in early stage deep tech startups with dual Earth and space applications. We've got quite a few big global names such as Corning, Kyocera, standing behind us as well.
Wow, sounds exciting. First of all, a lot of deal with the ecosystem and startup ecosystem here in Israel. So From what I understand, you know pretty good what is going up in the startup nation, in the verticals that you're interested in or your clients are interested in. And then let's try to take all the knowledge and the things that you do for work and try to lower it to the entrepreneur that doing his first steps in the world. Like we usually say in the former podcast, mainly in Hebrew or only in Hebrew, after you spent all your grandmother's money and your own savings, and let's put aside all the deals that the IIA can give you. We have a episode completely, a great episode with Karina telling us all the things we need to do, how to approach IIA. Let's look about different kinds of funding or fundraising.
Sure.
So I'm an entrepreneur. I'm waking up in the morning. I look at my bank account for the company that I've maybe established or not established several months ago, and I see that it's going to be empty soon. The burn rate is killing me. The employees, whatever. I don't draw salary. I eat only pizza and hope for the best from the garage. So before I'm going to give a call to Zach and Initium, please help me. What should I do? What is the course of action that I should take in order to raise funds?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And obviously a very complicated answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first and foremost, the most important thing that you can do is understand everything about your market, because that will help you in all of your subsequent steps of mapping out who the potential investors are, understanding your product and conveying it well. That's number one. And number two is understanding what stage your company is at. So if you're one guy in a garage trying to build something, you're in a different stage than two co-founders who have a team of four who, you know, have raised, I don't know, a few hundred thousand from an angel and are now trying to figure out what the next step is.
Mm-hmm.
So number one is know your market, know who your potentials are and everything about yourself so that you can answer questions best. And two is know what your stage is. Now I guess let's dive in a bit deeper. So let's start with the early stage guy who's, you know, one guy on his own, maybe he hasn't incorporated a company yet. He's looking for his next step. So in some ways that's the trickier one because it's very hard to get over that first funding hurdle. In that case, your best chances are looking for the following. So you want to obviously look for friends and family. Not everyone has the luxury of having friends and family who can invest in their company, though. Mm-hmm. So your next best option is looking for potential angel investors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the angels.
Sure.
I look at the sky and I search for angels. What to do?
Yeah, so it's actually also a tricky question because the same way not everyone has friends and family who can invest in their company,
mm-hmm.
Angels are often a bit of an exclusive club that you need to find your way into.
I've heard that there is an Excel in Israel. There is an Excel that everyone sends to everyone, and you have a list of potential angel investors. What do you think about it? It's a way, or there is another way to reach these angels?
Yeah, that's a great question. So obviously that's helpful. If you have no way to get to someone, you have a list, that's a great way to start. I would say that maybe your best use of that list is as a research tool.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's got their contact details, I would say your best bet is you always want to try and form a personal connection with them.
Yeah.
So first step would be looking through that list, figuring out who all of those people are. A lot of times angel investors in Israel are ex-entrepreneurs. So people who've made money doing an exit from a company that they built up. Mm-hmm. So I would say look around and see if any of them are in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're building a fintech startup and you find someone who sold two fintech companies, that person might be a good potential target for you. So I would say step one is understand who all of them are and rank them for yourself based on who might be most relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say your next step is let's try and find a connection to them.
A human connection.
It's not like connection.
Sending them a mail. Look, Dov Modan, I've got a great idea. I call it Disconki. What do you think about it?
Exactly.
Probably won't answer the mail.
Chances are he won't answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because everyone sends him this mail.
I mean, think about how many times you might get a cold call, mm-hmm. or you get a spam email that says, you know, hey, I saw you left your email address on this random website. Do you want to pay us $99 a month?
Okay.
So chances are a cold email and you know, let's not discount it, but chances are a cold email has less chance of success. So
let's say I don't know how to reach this angel that I'm interested in, and I can't find a connection. So I give up, or what do you do?
Yeah, you probably shouldn't just give up. Mm-hmm. I would say that won't help you succeed. Mm-hmm. So what should you do? You should be proactive. So first of all, obviously, you can go to events and try and meet people. And the more people that you meet gives you a bigger network that mm-hmm. gives you a better chance of meeting with an angel or
maybe
finding someone who knows.
Maybe going to a conference where he's at or whatever, if you know about it, and try to tackle him.
I would say probably
not.
Probably not. But you might want to, if you can, if you see
that
there's a conference.
The Israeli chutzpah won't help in this stage.
The problem is that everyone's Israeli in this case. So. okay. If you were overseas, that might work in order to get a quick schmooze in, because it might surprise them. But I would say it's definitely worthwhile trying to approach them at a conference. If you see there's a conference or a meetup or a round table, probably better in a smaller setting. Mm-hmm. So if you see there's a small round table going on, I don't know, let's say you're a semiconductor company and Intel Ignite is hosting a small event with three people who've succeeded, mm-hmm. then you might want to go to that, because chances are there'll be 40, 50 people there and you have better shot. But I would say the second layer to it is also the more people that you meet in your own industry, the better chance you have of finding connections to relevant people as well. So anytime someone offers you, hey, I know a guy who might be relevant, do you want to meet them? Take the meeting. You never know where a coffee date will lead.
Okay, a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
Okay, so angel is one track. Let's move to the other track that an entrepreneur might encounter.
Sure. So just circling back to where we started, you've got a spectrum of how developed your startup is. So like we said before, the earlier you are, the less options you might have for potential funding. Mm-hmm. So you're looking more at angels, friends, and family. But the next step is, and there are funds who'll do this, is super early stage VC funds.
Okay, so, VC.
So a seed venture capital fund who's looking for very early stage companies. You know, there are a lot of funds whose strategy focuses almost exclusively on, you know, being the first money into a company or second money in after an angel is invested, because they feel that's the best opportunity.
Where is the best place to find a VC that deals with my vertical or my market?
Sure, that's a great question. So I would say, first of all, you want to, before we get into how to find it, when you're talking about a VC fund, even for angels, let's not forget that we live in a connected world. Israel is, you know, a small place, quite small. Even if there's a high concentration of investors and startups here. Mm-hmm. So you should definitely be looking globally. Now, when it comes to how to look for investors, there are all sorts of tools online. So in Israel, there's Startup Nation Finder, which is a fantastic tool for finding other startups like yourself. It's a website database that has all of the Israeli startups, university research projects. A lot of angel investors are listed there as well. Good way to find angel investors, VC funds. And it also gives you a bit more categorization. So it'll say, this is a VC fund. It might tell you they invest at an early stage or what type of investments they tend to make. So if you're...
And then there is a link and I send them my pitch deck.
Yeah. So that's the next question is, same as an angel. You've got access to the name. What do you do next? Mm-hmm. So I would say similar here. Funds are easier to send a cold outreach to.
This is part of the deal flow.
And they'll always tell you that they look very closely at their cold outreach. But I think you and I both know that if your friend sends you a deck and says, hey, I know a guy who's really smart, this is what he's working on, mm-hmm. you'll look a bit more closely at it.
Yeah, of course. If there is a personal connection, it makes you address it differently, let's say. Always it's good to have a deal flow, because you need to show the statistics. You know, till now I've seen, you know, like 100 companies and I find the one jewel, crown jewel. Mm-hmm. So it's good. But okay, same thing with angel. Personal connection improves your chances.
Personal connection
noticed.
Improves your chances. Okay. And I would say, again, the same thing as with an angel investor. And maybe I'll just put this out there as a general rule. When you're doing your fundraising, you're going to be doing a lot of research. you're going to be building a lot of lists. And what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to do a lot of categorizing and understanding of the market. And that's sort of circling back to what I said before as well about understanding the market. You want to know who are the investors who are relevant to you, mm-hmm. whether they're angels, seed funds, corporate venture capital arms, corporates themselves. No matter what, you want to know who the potential investors are who are relevant to you, and you want to map them out and understand, are they investing in things like yourself? And there are a lot of tools out there online that can help you with that research. So like I was saying before, Startup Nation Finder is a great example in Israel. Crunchbase, which is a website as well, yeah. Similar but international, also provides you a lot of great information. So that'll give you information on who the investors are, what types of investments they're making, right? So it'll list all of the investments they've made. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to find a company who might invest in something similar to you, you might want to look and see what themes they're investing in. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, a fund might publish on their website, hi, we're a fund who invests in, you know, fintech and digital health and this and that. But the proof is in the pudding. Take a look at what they've actually done. Mm-hmm. So just to summarize all of that, when you're looking at your VC investors, you want to find all of them. You want to categorize them as to who's the most relevant. And you want to do that based on what stage do they invest and what types of companies do they invest in. And then obviously the highest likelihood are funds that are investing in your sector and at your stage.
Okay, so before we go and dive in detail, deeper, what is going on with the VC and what is the procedures generally speaking, let's look in another two entities. Maybe there's more that can help me in fundraising. Banks, mm-hmm. specialized banks for helping startups, whatever, fund for startups, and scouting.
So we can start with investment banks.
Yeah.
So maybe just to give a quick brief on what...
Everyone that thinks about a bank thinks about an application, thinks about a teller, thinks about a credit card, thinks about bank. So what is investment bank, basically? It's a bank?
So it's a great question. And I think the answer is it's kind of different in Israel than what you would think elsewhere. So internationally, you say investment bank, you're thinking about Goldman Sachs, you're thinking about, you know, Barclays, big, large banks. We're working on large transactions, right? Mm-hmm. So they're basically helping to, they're either helping, for example, a company do an IPO or helping one major strategic company acquire a large strategic asset, mm-hmm. you know, a mining asset or that kind of thing, infrastructure deals. You're thinking about large transactions. In Israel, investment banking is much more focused on the startup world. Mm-hmm. And the way you can think about it in Israel is you're looking at groups. They tend to be smaller, even Goldman Sachs and Rothschild that are, you know, large international companies have smaller operations.
Basically,
in Israel.
It's a firm. What is an investment bank?
What is an investment bank? Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Two guys in a garage? No.
Well, it could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a startup.
Okay. When you look at an investment bank for startups, mm-hmm. generally it'll be a small-ish operation, call it somewhere between 2 to 20 people. And what they do is that they assist companies. Either they're representing an investor mm-hmm. and they're helping investors invest in startup companies.
So it's a macher? I don't understand.
In a way.
So he doesn't have the cash in his pockets. He only knows someone that has.
Now, how does that apply to a startup? Sometimes the bank will represent the startup. Mm. And when the bank is representing the startup, they will act not just as the macher, but also as a consultant. Mm-hmm. So you're doing fundraising. You need to build your deck. You need to understand your market. You need to build a financial model, projections, what's your use of proceeds, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of times for an entrepreneur, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if you've never done it before. You don't know, you know, you might be a fantastic engineer, but mm-hmm. you don't know what cost of goods sold means.
You don't know nothing about business.
Exactly. So what an investment bank will do for you is they'll come in, they'll help you build a nice pitch deck that you can show to investors. They'll help you think about your use of proceeds, understand how much money do you need to raise, mm-hmm. make that fit into a financial model.
The value also?
The value as well. Help mm-hmm. you figure out. You might have no idea what your value should be. Mm-hmm. You look at headlines from last year and you think, my company's probably worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, I just started, but everyone else is doing it, so why not me?
I was in 8-1 also.
Exactly. So they'll help you understand what the market is at the moment. And then once they've built all of that, they'll help you devise a plan.
And how do I pay them? I don't have money.
Sure. So sometimes they might ask for funds up front. They might ask you for, you know, a monthly retainer, that kind of thing. But that'll obviously be dependent on what stage you're at.
Okay.
But the main way that investment banks are paid is on a success fee.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is they'll tell you, you know, I would like 5%, 4%, 3%, whatever structure they end up settling on with you, mm-hmm. of any successful deal. So you raise $100, they take a 5% fee. Out of that $100 that you've raised, you pay that investment bank $5.
It's better than nothing, you know?
It's better than nothing.
Okay. So these investment banks, there is a website that can categorize them and tell me, okay, this is dealing with this vertical, this is good, this is bad. Everyone goes there. Like booking.com, you have a grade. How does it work?
So investment banks are a bit more of a black box. It's a bit harder to find.
It's a closed guild. What is it?
There
is someone that tells, okay, I'm an investor bank. Who says that it's right? Because I open a firm and I call myself whatever capital investment bank, LTD, so it's good?
I would say in Israel, that's kind of how it works.
Oh.
So there are a lot of small investment banks, a lot of low profile, more high profile. Mm-hmm. If you search around on the internet, you can literally just write in investment bank Israel,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find. Mm-hmm. But I would say that you should definitely do your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Ask around. If you've got a friend who's raised money in the past or has worked with an investment bank in the past, I would say definitely ask around. Try and get some references. See who's the best to work with.
And then because, like working with the VC, I send him a cold email, the same drill, or there's something else?
So with investment banks, it's a bit more open than a VC because a VC fund is going to be selective. So they're seeing a lot of deal flow and they might end up not responding, although, you know, obviously best practice is to always respond. They might not respond.
Mm-hmm.
An investment bank, on the other hand, is always chasing business.
Mm.
So
they're actively
looking. So they might be at all the conferences as well, handing out business cards and saying, wow, you know, hey, great to meet you. This is my bank. These are the services that I've got.
Without the coffee.
There might be some coffee too.
Wow, interesting. What about scouting? I understand that the investment bank also does active scouting.
Yeah.
Maybe the big corporates are doing scouting.
Okay.
So how do I reach this scouter guy? Let's shed a little bit of light about what is a scouter.
Okay. So I would probably break that down into a few categories. So category one is sort of like what you were saying before, a macher.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically means someone who's doing a lot of the work that an investment bank might do in terms of connecting a startup with an investor.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll tend to be less involved in the consulting bit, right? So they might say, hey, Menachem, great to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 10 buddies who all have money and they might be interested in investing. I'll introduce you to them if you give me 5% of whatever they invest.
So we don't know about, like the guy that sells you an apartment. First of all, sign that you're going to pay, and exactly. Then I show you where is the apartment at all. But I've got a lot of apartments for you.
Yeah, so I would say, without being disparaging, because, you know, a lot of times these guys have, you know, good connections to actual capital that could definitely help you out. But the same way I said about an investment bank, do your due diligence before you sign. Try and get an idea of who it is that they want to introduce you to. Make sure with both an investment bank and with a macher that when you sign, you say all leads have to be approved by me,
mm-hmm.
right? Because in parallel to what he's doing, you might be doing your own outreach.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got great contacts, sign with me. But then the contacts he's introducing you to are all the Israeli VC funds that you've already reached out to yourself or could have gotten to.
And then you need to pay him.
You need to pay him even though he didn't really help you.
Wow.
Now, but again, that said.
Okay.
You know,
most of the guys are great and okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And they're a very good way, just to go back to what we were saying about angels before.
Mm-hmm.
Angels might be a closed group. Friends and family, you might not have access to capital from, you know, private individuals. And a lot of times, a macher might be able to help you there. So that's, you know, one end of the spectrum on scouting.
Mm-hmm.
The other end of the spectrum on scouting is sort of like what I was describing that Initium does, which is working with foreign entities as a local representative for their tech scouting activities. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's start with corporates. So big multinationals. A lot of times they have large innovation arms as well that are looking for new things that can help them improve their business. You know, a large company, they have a lot of, you know, engineers and smart people working for them, but they can't move as fast as a startup. And they're always looking for new ways to innovate internally. Yeah. We call it open innovation. It's looking externally for new innovation. Mm-hmm. And that could be either investment, collaboration, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of those guys will have something, you know, a large-scale operation set up in Silicon Valley, maybe something set up in London, depending on the types of startups they're looking at, whatever. And often they have a full-scale operation set up in Israel. But sometimes they're not quite ready for a full-scale operation. So they'll hire one person to be their local representative and actively scout for them. And what that means is looking for companies that are in their verticals of interest and for whatever purpose they might be looking for. So it could be for investment, it could be for acquisition, could just be for commercial collaboration or for joint development. So those are those are very common in Israel. You have a lot of scouters like that. And for them, the best way to find them is that one's actually tricky. So you can look on Startup Nation Finder to try and see what corporates are in Israel. A lot of times that'll lead you to a full corporate office, which is also great. And I think we'll probably discuss that soon as well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's, again, the same way you need to try and build out your network to try and find angels. It's the same thing. It's happened to me any number of times where I had no idea that a company had a local representative until someone said, hey, have you met the local representative of company X? And I said, no, I haven't. Let's do it. So going back to more coffee.
So you see in Israel that more corporates is establishing local offices here to search for innovation, search for investments. Mm-hmm. It's happening?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And you're also even seeing a scale up over time. So, you know, there are companies like Intel who have been in Israel for a long time. And there are companies, you know, Intel, Apple, who have built up their local presence through acquisitions. So they've bought large companies and that's added to their local presence and they've built out. But then there are companies who are doing it through, you know, the tech scouting and venture routes. So take Bosch, for example.
Yeah.
So Bosch is a German industrial company, automotive tier one, with pretty diverse activities.
Yeah.
And over the years, they've built up their activity in Israel to be quite broad. So they've got a local venture capital arm in Israel. They've got a local innovation arm in Israel. So the VC arm is looking for investment opportunities. Yeah. The innovation arm is looking for commercial collaboration opportunities. And they've got a whole team here looking for new opportunities to help Bosch improve on their existing offers.
Let's talk about Bosch as a representative of a tier one, huge monster, whatever, corporate, firm, company, etc. So I'm an entrepreneur that works in the garage and try to raise funds and for sure I want to join Bosch, okay, and give Bosch whatever I can give and do the exit or whatever I want to do. How do I reach them? How such kind of a monster is talking to a guy that barely has an MVP or nothing at all? Maybe it's not relevant at all.
So first of all, that's the beauty of both Israel being a small country and the relatively smaller operations that a lot of these companies have set up. So Bosch isn't a big team in Israel, and their job, and again, we're using Bosch as, you know,
as an example,
their job is to know everyone. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not quite ready for them to actively engage with you, they want to meet you, and you should want to meet them, because even if they're not a check tomorrow, they could be a check in a year from now, once your product is 1 year further along and more developed.
Yeah, I've heard Innoviz when I drove to the office today, and I heard the CEO of Innoviz telling us that he's got a contract $4 billion worth from Volkswagen. So it wasn't the first round that they did with Volkswagen. Several years ago, he talked to them. So there is a relationship, ongoing relationship.
Definitely.
At the end of the day, you get a check.
Definitely.
Like in Innoviz example.
Definitely.
Okay.
And I think that's actually a good example for, you know, how you should be thinking about your work with a corporate in general. So as compared to a VC fund where, you know, building a long-term relationship is also important. You might find yourself one stage too early, but by your next funding round, you're ready. But still, a VC relationship is often, it's point-based, right? So it's, I'm fundraising now, let's have a meeting. Is it relevant? Let's keep this relationship going, but I'm going to really reach out to you again the next time I'm fundraising. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with a corporate is going to be much longer than that because they're much larger organizations, much more complicated, a lot more internal politics, changing strategies, that kind of thing. So you need to make sure that you keep yourself on the radar so that...
Keep a hotline.
Exactly. You got to keep the iron hot because you might think you're waiting until the moment that you're ready, but what's really happening is you've got to wait until the moment that
they're ready.
That they're ready. And you'll never know what that is.
So your advice is to reach out to the innovation, whatever... parts of the corporate and send him an email and start have a talk.
Again, definitely. You can definitely reach out
cold. But you need to find the connection.
You got to find the connection.
You know, there is a secret Jewish connection around the world. Someone told me, always look for the Jewish connection. It will help you penetrate something.
Definitely. So so maybe that's a good segue into talking about international, right? So up until now, we've talked about, you know, how do you access people in Israel? And, you know, and Bosch, again, great example, accessing the guy here in Israel. I'm sure that you can find a connection and you know, meet the team here. But let's say you're talking about, okay, how do I make connections with an international company? Now, that's a big question.
I want Airbus.
You want Airbus. Okay. So... first of all, you need to understand that you want Airbus, right? So how do you do that? The same thing we've been saying all along. Know your market. Look around. Who are the people in your market? Who are your top potential customers? Do those potential customers work with early stage startups? Have they invested in early stage startups? Find all of the key relevant information and then build out your ranking. And you say, okay, I actually do want Airbus because they're more X than, you know, Boeing is.
Okay.
So... you've decided you want to go to Airbus.
Yes, who to call.
Who to call. Okay. Now, your next stage is figuring out who within this massive, massive organization is the right person. Now, something I've sort of come to realize over time is, A, you'll never understand a corporate better than someone on the inside because they're very complicated. And a lot of times you'll find, you'll look through LinkedIn, you'll find people with overlapping titles and you have no idea what the hierarchy is. Are they relevant? Are they not? So you'll never understand a corporate better than someone on the inside is one. And two is, like we've been saying all along, you always want a personal connection. So I would say your first bet would be look around and see, do you know anyone at the company anywhere? You met someone in Silicon Valley or in New York or in Chicago.
If I have a friend in LinkedIn that is working in Airbus.
Take a look on LinkedIn. See if you know anyone at Airbus.
Okay.
Take a look around. See if that person could be, A, obviously relevant to you already, or B, see if they're in, you know, a position where they might have access to other parts of the company. That's option one. Option two is look around for people who you have a close connection to. So on LinkedIn, you can look around and see people within the organization. You can see how many shared connections you have. And let's say I saw someone at LinkedIn was connected to you, Menachem. Sorry, someone at Airbus. So I would say, I know Menachem well. Menachem will introduce me to this guy at Airbus. And again, this person at Airbus, either the person that Menachem is connecting me to or just the person that I already know, might not be the relevant contact.
Now, it sounds to me like a good potential for a startup. Trying to find, you know, the world for a connection.
There you go.
Wow.
Let's do it after this.
Let's leave everything and go for it. Okay. It sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work because what I just described is only step one. Okay. So step one is find your most, you know, your best possible connection in terms of personal relationship. That obviously meets the criteria of, you know, being high up enough within the organization that they have cross-department access. And then use that personal connection to say, hi, I am company X. I'm doing XYZ. I think this could be relevant to Airbus. Is there someone that you could connect me to that would be relevant? Or maybe even your better option is take a look around and see if you know who that person is that you want to get in touch with. And you can say, you know,
hi, do you know Robert?
Exactly.
I need Robert.
Hi, great to be connected. Or hey, good to hear from you again. This is what I'm working on right now. I think it could be relevant to Airbus. I saw that Robert Johnson looks like he's responsible for that department. Do you think it could be relevant? Mm-hmm. Then you've also helped them. You've done the work for them. They don't need to really think that much. Or they, again, know the organization better than you. They might say,
no,
Robert's
not, Robert.
Not actually. It's
Linda.
Exactly. You want to go for Linda.
Okay. Wow, interesting. And this kind of big corporate like Airbus, still coming back to what we talked earlier, they have a local office or scouter or something in Israel or not?
Yeah. So Airbus
so
does.
So what is better?
And, yeah.
Doing this parallel procedure or focusing on the guys in Israel that are looking for me?
Very good question. I would say definitely start with the people in Israel, just because chances are it'll be easier. And usually the people in Israel are sitting at the corporate level, meaning they're not reporting to one specific business unit. They're tied into what the overall corporate strategy is, which is, you know, divided across the business units, and it's the person sitting on top. So your best bet is probably to start with the Israelis. But you should, in parallel, try and figure out who the right person might be internationally, A, if there's no Israeli office, or B, sometimes the Israeli office might say, not relevant, because that's what they've heard from corporate. Mm-hmm. But when
the
you...
Corporate is big.
Corporate is big.
So who says it's not relevant?
And they might... So corporate at the top level might say no, but then your electric vehicle company, and you go to some smaller department within Airbus that's working on electric vehicles, and you talk to the head of the department, and he says,
wow, that's great.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's got discretion over his own budget, and he might go ahead and do it with you.
He can invest in me or order something?
Yeah, so chances are in that case, it would be more of a commercial, commercial collaboration. You might do a POC, an NRE kind of thing, and work towards a project.
And hopefully that he will rise up to the guy from the M&A department.
Once you've got a foothold, it's much easier to move towards an investment or an acquisition.
So it's like some kind of a bait. So if my strategy is fundraising, maybe I should do some commercial activity with some department of this tier one giant.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, commercial activity will help you no matter what, even if Airbus doesn't invest.
You can put it on your website.
Exactly.
Trusted whatever of Airbus.
Let's put it this way. Menachem, imagine you're an angel investor, and I come up to you and I say, I've got an electric an idea for an electric vehicle company. And you say, great, what have you done? And I say, nothing.
No.
Versus I come up to you and I say, I have an electric vehicle idea. I've spoken to Airbus.
There is traction.
We're discussing a potential proof of concept project.
Whatever. Sounds better.
I think you'll probably be a bit more interested in the one that's talking to Airbus.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. So a CEO or entrepreneur has got a lot of work, not only developing his idea, baby, whatever, but also fundraising. It takes a lot of energy.
Takes a lot of energy. A lot of energy.
And outside there in the world, in the big world, like in Israel, there are scouting offices or maybe VCs or something that I can use in order to shorten the way?
So you can work with the same way there are Israeli investment banks. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Israeli investment banks are not going to be focused primarily on Israeli investors. You know, it's not that big of a market here.
Okay.
So they'll be able to connect you with people overseas as well within their own base of connections. But, you know, you're going to need to try and work on building out connections with international players as well. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times that might end up being sort of a domino effect where, you know, you try and try and try. And finally, you find this one lady in, in Chicago who's connected to a few VC funds in the Midwest in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And she says, yeah, I know a bunch of funds in the U.S. who are actually looking for Israeli companies. And then she'll start passing you on. But it's a matter of talking to friends, doing networking. And the same way you would do networking for meeting people in Israel, you need to start, you know, reaching out and trying to find ways to connect with people overseas. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got absolutely no network overseas and you don't know anyone who can connect you, this is where you're going to need to start doing your cold outreach. So, you know, obviously, I'd say cold outreach, lower likelihood. So if you're talking about, I don't know, chances of success when you're connected by someone that you already know is, I don't know, call it 1 in 20, 1 in 30, 1 in 40. I don't know what the stats are. Multiply by 10 on, you know. So think about it the same way you would think about a sales pipeline for a startup. Mm-hmm. You need to build up a big list of potential people that you're going to reach out to. You need to be okay with the fact that maybe only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of them are going to respond to you. Mm-hmm. And then as it works its way down the funnel, you're going to lose people along the way. Mm-hmm. So rule of numbers, try and get as many as you can. But cold outreach works as well. There's always the chance that you find just the right person, and it's worth trying. And, you know, sort of like we said about Israeli funds as well, when you're talking about funds, there's almost always a way to submit something. So it can't hurt to try.
Wow. That's a lot of information. And sure we are going to do another episode talking about, once I have addressed a VC, what should I do as an entrepreneur in order to prepare myself, what to do and what not to do. And then how does a procedure of from starting to the ending when I want to find myself at the end of the day with a check.
Yeah.
How much time does it take? What kind of procedure I'm going to go through?
Definitely.
What is more important? So this will be a total different chapter that hopefully we'll do soon. But let's for now, I think that we've covered this fascinating world of little bit of taste of fundraising out of not only looking with things that the Israeli government encourage, but looking for the real world, for the big money outside. So once again, I want to thank you, Zach, for your time. And
my pleasure.
Your time is very precious, both for our joint venture and it all. So I'm looking forward for the next episode.
Sounds good. Me too. Very excited.
Thank you.
Thanks, Menachem.